Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Beside Ourselves Podcast. I'm Danny.
I am Shakuna. Hi.
And I am Benny. Or you can always call me maybe if you want to.
Oh, really?
You didn't pick that album.
What was that?
You didn't even pick that album.
You can
call me maybe, just don't call me maybe late for dinner. No. Okay. It's fine.
Did that make you too emotional?
So anyways, today we are reviewing an album by the request of one Mr. Benjamin and the Wax, and he decided to pick out an album from a Miss Carly Rae Jepsen. And Benny, why don't you give us a little bit of info about this record?
So this is the third studio album by the Canadian singer and songwriter Carly Rae Jepsen. It was released on June 24th, 2015, in Japan, worldwide on August 21st, 2015. And it was through 604, Schoolboy, and Interscope Records. She was looking to transition from the bubblegum pop of Orange and Nature of her second studio album, Kiss, which was released in 2012, which had the smash hit banger that I just referenced earlier, that was called Call Me Maybe.
Smash hit Jepsen, banger, you say?
I mean, to each their own, but I thought it definitely was. I don't care how overplayed it was, I still love that song. Don't come at me. If you do, I don't care. Jepsen instead found inspiration in this new, I guess, like, era from like 1980s music and alternative styles. That's all I had based on the album background. And I'll just say before we get started, I don't want to spoil anything, but I have some thoughts that I didn't think I would have about this album. So
interesting.
I'm excited to. Or was it? No, I definitely have. I think that hearing it after all these kind of years again and kind of deep diving it, I have some thoughts. So
interesting. Now what I find kind of, I keep on saying the word interesting, but is that the album got released in Japan before it got released worldwide. Is that what you said, Benny?
I mean, that's what the interwebs said. Interwebs could be lying to us. They have been known to not be completely truthful all the time, but that's what it said. So, huh. I mean, and I think it was through, I just went through, like, I think it went to Wikipedia, so that could, that's someone's, like, information they just slide in there. So it could be totally, totally wrong, but who knows?
Hey, Wikipedia is never wrong.
There has been times when, you know, like, Japan gets a certain track that we don't from some bands, so it definitely, it's not totally out of the norm, I think, for a release to happen outside of, I guess, the American audience first, I guess. But again, that's what I read, but who knows? It could be all BS, but I'm just going and I'm trusting in whoever wrote that little snippet on the Carly Rae wiki page.
Yeah, so. Well, whoever you are, Mr. or Mrs. Person of the Internet, you better have written it down right, because we're counting on you or something. I don't know. So anyways, I'm going to say, and once again, also not to spoil my thoughts on this record by any means either, but this is the first Carly Rae Jepsen album that I've listened to all the way in full. Obviously, I know her by some of her bigger tracks and some of her more popular songs, but I was going into this with a kind of a different impression, and I won't spoil anything, but there, I very much like Benny, I have some thoughts on this as well that I think probably might surprise some longtime listeners of the podcast, whoever you may be. So anyways, guys, do you want to dive in the track listing? I know Dan is trying to reserve some of his voice because of some unfortunate tooth accidents.
I mean, I can talk. It's just, I mean, my voice is fine and I'm good.
Okay.
But this weekend I did listen to The Loneliest Time, which is one of my favorite albums by her, which I probably shouldn't have before listening to this. Not saying it skewed it too much.
Yeah. Understood.
She is definitely a fine wine that is aged to some serious perfection.
Oh, without question. No, I mean, I've listened to a few songs off The Loneliest Time as well, and they're just banger after banger after banger. So it's good to know that there is that she's had not only a very illustrious career thus far, but also that she continues to improve on her craft. So that's a very, very good thing for her. But anyways, also just very, very interesting. This album's about to turn 10 years old, if you can believe that. Ooh. That was probably the bigger shock to me as kind of going through, I'm like, God damn, I am turning old. But like, I felt like this album just came out like yesterday, like in terms of like its timelessness and what have you. But I will keep my comments myself before we get to the track listing. So that said, you guys want to dive into it?
Sure.
All right, let's do it. We'll start off with the very first track on the album. It's called Run Away With Me. And let's give that a quick little listen right about now.
So, I mean, for me, first of all, I loved this intro, and I just love, like, the whole track, really, I fucking love. It's funny, when I found this record, maybe 5 years after its actual release, I didn't even really, know about it, because all I really knew from her was Call Me Maybe, and then my friend John, he's really into like female pop. Like, he's a huge Swiftie. He like loves Carly Rae. He actually had some feelings about when Carly Rae and Taylor released an album on the very same day, which was The Loneliest Time. It released on the same day as Taylor's album, which was a choice. But that's getting out of the conversation here.
Bold choice, might I add.
Yes. So this was the first song I really heard from Carly Rae after only really knowing Call Me Maybe, to be honest with you. I didn't really know much from her apart from that, but I was really impressed by the song, by the opening beats. I think it's super catchy, and I really love it. And I was like, wow, this is like how the whole album's going to be. I'm in for a pretty cool ride.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I'm reminded a lot of Taylor Swift's Bad Blood on this song, with its heavy breathing and sultry vocals and a lot of those reverb haze in the background. That said, I really do like the song for its driving chorus and syncopated bass line. It's a powerful start to the album. And it's one of those things I feel like you could like introduce anyone that probably isn't super familiar or well-versed with Carly Rae's music and say, hey, give this a listen. And I feel like they'd feel right at home with that same type of dance pop sort of aesthetic.
I love the almost like 90s. It's not almost, the 90s new age synth sound that they had in this like deep forest style. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, pan flute / synthesizer. I think it's a fun pop track to really start this out. I was digging it. I was really excited for the rest of the album with this one.
Nice. Very nice. Well, then let's waste no time and get into the second track then. That would be called Emotion, which is the title track of the album. Let's give it a quick little listen, shall we? Benjamin.
So, I can go first again, if you don't mind.
Well, it is your album review, so I mean, of course.
I know, but I mean, like, I wouldn't mind going like second or third, as we progress through this album. But I mean, I think this was a really good follow up to Run Away With Me. I mean, I didn't like it as much as the first track, but I still think it's a bang over hit. Yeah. To be honest, and I really thought it was a really strong song. It just wasn't, I didn't like it as much as the first one.
Fair enough. Dan, what do you think?
So I liked it. It's a little bit, like, it doesn't go past a point for me, which is a little bit of a bummer. It's a fun, like, 80s synth dance song, and I was really feeling it, but it didn't, like, it got me to a level, but it didn't push me up to the level I wanted to, but I liked it.
That's fair. I kind of have similar feelings. However, though, I wrote down here, another solid banger on this record. Love the plucky guitars and the solid production work on this track. It gives me reminders of some of Kylie Minogue's earlier work, that same kind of like that sort of dancier sort of pop sort of vibe. Not a bad thing, but it's also not like really giving me the emotional highs, play on words there, that I get with Run Away With Me. Like, it doesn't have like that kind of like punch you right in the face sort of chorus that it, in a good way, of course, that I don't get on this track. It's like I said, not bad, but just like I was walking away from that song and just wanting just a little bit more. But anyways, we move on to the song that probably most people know this record by, and it's I'm gonna guess it was her leadoff single. That would be my guess. If not her most popular single off of this album, it's "I Really Like You." And let's give it a quick little listen. Aww, I like you both. Aww. Sometimes. Anyways, here you go. Hey, man. No. Oh, you're pointing to me. Oh, you want me? Oh, you want me to talk about this? Okay.
I do.
Okay, I will.
Go ahead.
This song is most people that know by Carly, with the exception of Call Me Maybe, obviously. But normally, I wouldn't say that I'm a fan of repetition in choruses, but this seems to really fit the whole vibe and mood of this song, like a teenager discovering what love is for the very first time and not know how to handle or communicate those feelings of intense butterflies. I do hope the person that wanted Carly back wants her back, because she totally deserves it. But yeah, this song is, it's so bubblegum pop. That it's like, it feels like just a warm blanket of solid, happy vibes. I can't say enough good things about it.
So, and that's why, I mean, I guess I didn't really realize that it was the single, just because I didn't know about it until like so many years after it was released. But this is like probably one of my favorite songs. And maybe that's because I have some like deep rooted like connection to like hearing it over and over again. Maybe I did hear it. I just didn't know about it, but I definitely thought it was like super catchy. And you guys know me, like I'm a fan of like the bubblegum like pop style. I'm a fan of like that bubblegum, I guess, like pop punk style. So
sure.
it's not too far fetched to, if I told you that was my favorite song, which it's definitely up there with my favorites on the record.
Yeah, it's a good one. Daniel.
So we already know this is a jam. It's fine. But the problem is, just like Call Me Maybe, as time progresses, it gets cheesier and less like something I'm going to throw on.
Wow, really?
Like with her new stuff and some of the songs I've discovered on this album, I just think they're better pop songs. And though this is a perfectly good pop song, it's just so cheesy. That, do I really want to hear it? Do I really want to?
Of course you do. Of course you do.
Like, cute is not what I'm aiming for here.
Oh, but, stop.
You know
what
I mean?
Listen.
I'm just saying, I feel like it's too sweet.
What if you listen to it by the Bayside by chance?
What?
You said cute is what we aim for. So I was giving you another pop punk reference.
I'm just saying, like, it's not a bad song. I like it. Don't get me wrong. It's just like, as time progresses, same with like Call Me Maybe, which is a fun song, but it's not something I'm going to throw on purpose.
Well, I should throw out my CD mix that I made for you, that the first two tracks were Call Me Maybe and I Really Like You. So
I like the theme.
Well, fuck me, right? I guess the CD is going in the trash.
I didn't say I disliked either of those songs.
You know what's funny? I can't even make a mix CD anymore because my my fucking computer doesn't have a CD drive.
I know, right? Rip.
It's wild, like the times we live in.
In it though, you know what though, Dan? I'd be willing to bet you, if someone got a few drinks in you and this song came on in a bar or something like that, you would start dancing around like a fucking idiot.
Yeah. So technically, Dan has at least a half a drink in him now. So maybe we have to just give him one more, and maybe he'll be singing I really like you by the end of it.
This is a bad song.
We never said that.
Bar, I'm going to never karaoke this song.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
I'm just saying. We never said you said it was bad. I'm just poking fun at you because I have a drink in my hand too. So maybe by the end of it, I'll be singing I Really Like You in the background.
Maybe you will.
Aww.
Fuck our outro. I'm just gonna sing like I Really Like You like, as we fade out to black.
Don't ruin it. Don't ruin the surprise. All right. We move on to track number four, guys. This is Gimme Love, and let's see if we can give it some love. Here we go. All right, Dan, how about you go first this time, considering I went first last time?
I can do that. So Gimme Love is a slog. It's the longest, boringest, slowingest song ever. It's like the most repetitive bullshit song where it has no like range. It's like I'm going to hit monotone and I'm going to go through the chorus, through the verse, through the chorus. I'm never going to show emotion. I'm just going to keep it there. Same level.
Damn right. You know, it's funny because I'm not disagreeing with you. I just think it's a beautiful song. And if you don't read into it too much and you just like listen to like the vocals and just like vibe to it, I think it's a beautiful song. Does it lack depth? Yeah, sure. I can agree with you, but I still think it's beautiful. So nothing will change my mind about that. But I can see your point 100%.
I thought it was beautiful the first 30 seconds, and then it didn't change the rest of the like 3 minutes. I was like, oh.
So like, and I don't want to like step over Jacuna, but I just want to think like one last point. I think you brought it up earlier, Jacuna, where like, and I think you did too, Dan. Where it's, I think this is where I kind of like recognize this. Like after listening to it, like really in depth, is how a lot of songs like they just stay in a certain spot and they don't really go anywhere. At least like, instrumentally, like you think they're gonna build to something and then they don't, and it's kind of. It's some of a letdown, which I don't want to, like, I guess I'm kind of foreshadowing the future here, but I can see that perspective, especially when it comes to like a lot of these songs.
There's only one artist that can do that and get away with it and be amazing at it, and that is Daft Punk.
True.
I don't know who you're going to say. I'm like, okay, that makes more sense.
Absolutely. Daft Punk can take repetitive and they can make it amazing for 5 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with like one line too. So
around the world.
Yeah, exactly right. Or one more time. Okay. So remember how I said that they don't like repetitive words and choruses? This is an example of why. Gimme Love. Okay, heard you the first time, Carly. Got anything else to add here? No? Just Gimme Love. Got it. Perfect. Thanks. This is probably one of, I wouldn't say my least favorite song on the album, but it's definitely, it feels like it's foreshadowing the rest of my thoughts on some of this record. But anyways, sure. we'll get into it as we go. Let's move on to track number five. This one's called All That, not to be confused with the intro song to the hit Nickelodeon television show. It's just All That. Let's give it a listen. Benny, you want to go first?
I do. Okay, so before I give, like, I guess, like, my little, like, my two cents, this song reminded me of another song from a popular like pop artist, and in my head I couldn't figure out who it was. And it's, I don't know if it's just the way, like the cadence of how she's singing the song, but it reminded me of Sometimes by Britney Spears.
Oh.
And I guess if you listen to it and you kind of like put like throw in Britney's lyrics, I don't know why, but that's all I hear whenever I listen to the song. And I can't really put my finger on it, but maybe if you guys can take like a good like 5 seconds and just like while I'm talking, kind of just like try and listen to like the lyrics of Sometimes.
You don't even need to. Like I'm already picturing it right now, and like I feel like I kind of hear it as well. It's kind of weird now that you mention it. Like
it's like, yeah. I wish I had like the lyrics in front of me because I could like kind of say it as the music is going. But I do like the song, but I don't know if it's because it reminds me of Sometimes.
Yeah, that's fair.
I see where you're coming from, but I would compare it more to every single 90s white R&B rapper girl that you found in a dollar bin.
Oh, yeah.
like you said, yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like
a track on a 90s Mandy Moore album.
Yeah, or like a Maya or oh god, like
it does sound like Britney Spears, but I think it's not as good as Britney Spears.
True.
Well,
that's a fact.
Yeah, I would never.
No,
say
I'm
that.
Not.
Never say that. But it's fine. But it's funny. So like, I still like enjoy the song for what it is, but I don't know if it's because of that fact. And I'll say this too. It's like it's. This is where I, like, my newfound, I guess, like diving into this kind of led me not only down like a darker path, but I kind of felt like it was like a front loaded like record where after this, I just found myself being like,
I'm going to disagree, but
a little
bit. I'm going to disagree as well. Like,
which is fine. It's why I like having these like talks. Is like we all have different perspectives. I just find myself like not being as into songs after this song as in the past. I thought I really did.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm gonna agree with you guys on this one. I wrote maybe I might be the odd one out here, but something about a sultry slow jam in the middle of this record just doesn't sit right with me. Maybe it's not that it's bad, more so that it doesn't fit the youthful dance pop that the start of this album is laying the foundation for. Perhaps it could have been placed somewhere else in the track listing and that would have been done better. I don't know, but it's like all of a sudden you have like all these like driving heavy 80s and 90s inspired synths and drum tracks that are just like just pummeling you in the face with just kind of like this overly sugary bubblegum pop. And then all of a sudden we like the bottom just drops out. And then all of a sudden you're just like in like slow jam territory. And it's like, okay, wait a second. Where did this lead to? And why are we here? It feels like someone just like took like a wrong turn on the highway. And like all of a sudden now you're like in the middle of a cornfield. It's, I don't get it. It's not my least favorite song on the record by any means, but it feels so misplaced, and I can't really put my finger on it. But anyways, let's move on to number six, track six, that is. This is Boy Problems. Let's give that one a quick little spin. Hey, Daniel, what do you think about Boy Problems? Do you have them by chance?
You want to go first, Benny?
Oh.
You can go. Oh, that's what you put in the private chat. Can I go first?
No. So I did that for all that.
Oh, got it.
Okay. So Boy Problems has this really funky bass line that is actually pretty sick. The vocal stylings of the song are actually kind of nice. The way she flows through the chorus and the verses. It's just, I mean, I'm not as big into bubblegum pop as our Benny boy here, but like the lyrics of this song are just so fucking cringy that I want to punch my mouth out. And it's because it hurts right now.
I was going to say, I'm like, didn't the dentist already do that to you there, Dan?
Boom, roasted. Yeah.
Boom, roasted. I'll be here all night. Thank you. Mic drop.
But I mean, everything besides the lyrics of this song are actually kind of like, they're fine. If it was a different like concept, I'd be like, all right, this is kind of a fun song.
Yeah, I wrote, and we ran back into the dance pop that I'm used to on this record. Is it a topic that I have no relation to? Of course. Do I still dig it? Of course I do. It has this Nile Rodgers sort of like slap bass that just kind of makes you want to just like bounce up and down. But yeah, the lyrics are just like, I cannot relate to this at all. I have no idea what it's like to have boy problems. And also, if I'm reading the lyrics correctly, didn't she like dump her boyfriend because she has boy problems? That seems kind of strange.
That's what the problems were. She dumped him. That's the boy problem.
I guess so. But like, what are you saying? But then if you dump the boy, doesn't that mean you no longer have boy problems because the boy is no longer a part of your life in that particular instance?
Or maybe like,
maybe I'm reading too deep into this. I don't know.
So like, that's her problem is she can't keep a boy. So
Well, maybe she needs to get a man instead of a boy. You know what I'm saying? Oh, no.
I mean, I kind of have the same kind of thoughts as you guys were. I mean, like I thought it was catchy. I thought musically it was fun, but the lyrics were just like,
Yeah, they're definitely not her best.
It was okay. I mean, it wasn't again like I feel like we're not in like her like target demographic. Obviously,
no, we are clearly not. Too, like,
but oftentimes though, like even though. Someone is not in the demographic, you can still find it enjoyable.
Oh fuck yeah! It's the reason why
a great song is. It's no matter who is listening to it, like they will they will enjoy. And again, I liked it. It was catchy, but like lyrically, it was not for me.
Yeah, to add to that, it's like it's the reason why I'm like an Olivia Rodrigo fan. It's I can't relate to any of her lyrics whatsoever. But fuck, a good song is a good song, and when you write one, even though I am no all American bitch, despite my best efforts, I still can.
Don't give up.
I'm gonna keep trying. I really will.
I feel like we should dive into one of her records at some point in the future. Because I don't know if we haven't yet, right?
No, we haven't.
I know at least one of us is dying for that. And. I'll give you a hint. It rhymes with Le Tuna.
Le Tuna.
That was not subtle at all.
I think out of all of us, like Shakuna's probably like the biggest, I guess, like, Olivia fan. Even though I think we all are fans of Olivia. I sure am. I think that she's fucking great. But I think out of all of us, Shakuna's probably like at the top of the list. Probably.
But I mean, but once again, it's not because like. I can relate to the content of her music. I think it's just because she's a solid songwriter and writes good fucking songs and surrounds herself with great producers. So it's kind of just like when you have those two things kind of combined together, they become like this big like Voltron of just awesome pop music. Yeah, that's a dated reference. That shows you how old I am. Anyways, we move on to track number 7. This is Making the Most of the Night. Let's give that one a quick little listen. Can I? You want to go first, Dan? Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Dan.
I actually really, really, really love this song. It reminds me of Ali and AJ.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I thought it was a fun little synth pop banger. what I wanted to bring up though is my brain cannot fucking. I don't know if it's dyslexia or what, but whenever she's saying "whenever I'm hijacking you, hijack you," my brain goes, "Anytime I'm on TQ." Hide you, like I can never. I know she says hijack you, but right. Every time she says it, it sounds like something different to me.
Like she's speaking like a different language.
Yeah,
it's great. Yeah, no, I fucking love this song. The only thing I wrote on this is woo, solid fire on this track. Nothing more needs to be said than that. Fucking amazing.
Wow.
Is this Benny's least favorite song?
Oh no!
It is actually, which is kind of hilarious to me. Which is why, again, I said before, I said it like 5 minutes ago, and I'll say it again. That's why I fucking love this because it's. I think this is why when I said previous, I'm like, oh my god, this album is so front loaded. You guys were like, oh, fuck no, it isn't, basically. and for me, like, even when I first heard this, this is one of my skip tracks.
No shit.
To be honest, like, it is my favorite. I mean, it's not bad to me, but it definitely is not my favorite. And to me, I just was like,
has your favorite track already happened on this album?
Yes.
Oh, wow. This is going to get really interesting real quick, because I feel like I still have a few more in me that have completely changed my mind on this artist. Anyways, but that's
beside the point. Favorite track hasn't shown up yet.
Oh, that's shit. Awesome. Ooh, wow.
I'm honestly stoked to hear that. That's awesome.
Awesome. All right, well, we move on to track number 8 on the record. This is called Your Type. Let's give it a quick little listen review. All right, can I go first this time? Oh, sure. Sweet. Okay, so I'm gonna take a small guess that maybe this might be the song that Dan's referring to as one of his favorites, because I see that little glimmer in his eyes.
No.
Oh, I see.
No, I'm mid on this song.
Fair enough. Okay. So I wrote that this is the song that Taylor Swift wishes she could have wrote. It's got that tiny pinch of heartbreak and longing, but done so properly well with an 80s dance pop beat with a swelling chorus and perfectly executed vocals. I fucking dig this song.
Holy shit.
Nope.
Well, fuck me. Dan, do you want to go next?
Go ahead, Dan.
I really like that it starts off feeling like a Gunship song. The chorus is a little basic pop, but it's still... I can imagine her standing on top of a mountain, beating her chest because she's powerful to this one. I like it, but it's not my favorite.
Fair enough. Okay.
Now, did I just like listen to the wrong song? So I felt like the instrumentals like didn't really go out anywhere really. Like it kind of like it, I thought it was building up, and then it kind of like hit a peak, and then it just went right back to where it started, and. Maybe I'm not listening to the right song. Because I honestly was listening to this and I'm like, I don't see where this is going instrumentally. And I just wasn't really digging it. So I don't know why.
You're not digging it? It's cool.
That's fine. You don't have to like every single song that we like.
No, I know. I don't.
clearly you don't.
Clearly I do not. But I don't know why. I found it.
Oh man,
I'm sorry.
Need to apologize, man. I know you're Canadian, but you don't have to apologize.
I brought this to the group thinking, oh, they're gonna love this fucking record, like banger after banger, like right to the end. I don't know why.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, you like less of it than we do. I actually really like this record.
What was I gonna say? Sorry,
I said I actually really like this record. There's some duds for sure, but man, I overall this is a great record.
No, I think that is a good. I don't know why. I think it's after listening to it for so many times, maybe because it isn't as new to me. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't know why.
Fair enough.
Again, maybe boring is a harsh, but I just I thought it would go further than it did.
Fair
enough.
Fair enough. All right, we move on to track number 9. Everybody, this is the last 4 songs on the album. Starting off with Let's Get Lost. Let's give that a quick one, a little listen. All right, who's going first? It ain't gonna be me. I can tell you that much.
I'll go first. Okay. I actually didn't love this one. It was fine, but I think with the last 2 songs being so fire, this one just like kind of brought me back down to like, oh, this isn't the pop album completely I'm into, but
interesting.
It had some jazz feels to it at some point.
Yeah, it almost kind of felt like it had like a little bit of a Japanese influence as well, with like those little plucky sort of like I forget what that type of guitar is in Japanese culture, but like it's like I'll have to look it up. But I feel like I hear...
Sitar?
What's that?
Is it like a sitar sound?
Yeah, like a sitar sound almost. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's...
That's why Japan got this first.
Maybe. That very well might be.
Nice. Why did I say that so weird? Japan.
Japan.
That's why Japan got this first.
India. USSR. Japan. Street Fighter reference. Anyways, I wrote, this is the part of the album that I feel where it starts to go downhill. The track isn't bad, but it doesn't have that same youthful punch that I get with most of the other songs on the record. And just, I don't know, like, I feel like it just feels very, very disjointed. I can't put my finger on it more than that. It's just, I just walked away just kind of feeling kind of meh on it.
And I'm kind of the same way. I didn't hate it. I didn't mind it.
Right.
I don't have a lot of thoughts on this because I think by this point, like, maybe I was just in one of my like Benny moods where I just was like fuck everything. Even though I brought this with like supreme like optimism, being like, oh yeah, like bangers, guys, bangers. But I mean, again, I think there's a lot of other great highs on the record, and this was an unfortunate low to me. It was okay.
Fair enough.
It was all right.
Okay, guys. We move on to track number 10, L.A. Hallucinations. Let's give it a quick little listen. All right, who's going first?
I really hope this isn't you guys' favorite song. Please tell me it's not. Dan, please tell me it's not. You weren't vibing to it.
No, it's not.
You were not vibing to it, so I'm assuming it was not. Because all I put was meh with like eight H's.
Oh, that's a lot of mehs.
Maybe it's because it's at the end. I'm convinced, guys, I've only really listened to the first, like, seven tracks of this record previously, but it just was this at the point where I'm just like, I just found, again, like, kind of like dull to me. I did not like this at all.
Yeah, I'm gonna completely agree with you on that one, Benny. This was, I wish I could say more about the song, but this feels more like a filler track than anything more. Just very weird song structure and just that chorus. I don't know, there was nothing like I could really glean from this that like made me just like invest in the track at all. I was waiting for the song to be over, and I've listened to this album at least four times now. And this is, as soon as we get to this song, this is like where I immediately go, okay, this is a skippable song for me.
Skip song. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Daniel,
what is this giant pile of burning shit? It's like her making a Party at the USA song.
Yes. Join the club.
When she starts almost rapping about TMZ at some points with backing drums and keys that sound like they were done on a Casio keyboard in a fucking mall.
Yeah, yeah, agreed.
This is the most embarrassing song I think I've ever heard by her.
Yeah, it's not good. It just isn't.
I'm glad we agree, because I was worried, like, as I was talking, like, if Dan comes and says this is his favorite song, I'm going to hang up my headphones.
Listen, I feel like every artist is entitled to a stinker. This is definitely Carly Rae Jepsen's stinker on this album, for sure. This is the one that very easily could have been a B-side and been more than fine.
Roll credits.
Anyways, okay, we move on to track number 11, Warm Blood. Let's give that one a quick little listen.
Yeah.
All right, I see Dan bobbing his head back and forth.
This has to be his favorite song.
It has to be.
This is my favorite song.
I'm calling it right now.
This feels like if The Knife and Portishead were making, like, poppier music. Like, I fucking love this song. This is the best song on the album. I've listened to this so much, like, since we said we were doing this album.
Interesting. Yeah.
Like, this is just, like, a indie electronic song with a girl that just I just fucking love it. I think this is the best song on the album.
Okay. I'm gonna healthfully disagree with you on that one. I don't like this song at all. Maybe it's the swelling bass that feels like it was composed using a Super Nintendo, or the very weird song structure. But this just feels very like just another miss on the record to me. I get where you're coming from, Dan, with your comparison with Portishead, because I do enjoy Portishead as well. But this I don't know if I could draw that same comparison. I just don't know. Benny.
So I know, Dan, out of all of us, you like the most like far out stuff, I think, and which is a really a good thing, honestly, because like, you bring that perspective that I don't see, and in this case, like, I thought it kind of sounded like she was singing in like a big empty cylinder, which seemed kind of like it could have just been like the weird vocal mod that they put
it's a weird mix, a very weird voice.
And it wasn't very I thought it was like, the whole vocal range was very weird, but it definitely seemed like it would be in Dan's lane, which I'm happy you liked it, Dan, because it was not my favorite either, but I can definitely see the vibe and where you can see it grabbed some positives out of it. And you obviously grabbed that positive out of the whole thing because you thought it was your favorite song. So I commend you, sir, because it wasn't my favorite, but I'm happy it was yours.
Dan's like the Charlie Day of our podcast crew sometimes. He's the wild card. He's the guy that kicks over the can of gas as the truck is moving in full motion and just screams wild card bitches and jumps out.
I do eat paint, so that makes sense.
And that's how you had to get your tooth pulled out. That makes perfect sense now. All right.
It's not in you see when I smile, so it's okay.
Hey, I like it. All right, gentlemen, we move on to the final track of the album. It's called When I Needed You. Let's give that a quick little listen right about now. Can I go first, please?
Please do.
Okay. Follow me on this analogy, please. I said this is a very weird ending to this album. This totally feels like this should have been an intro to a Japanese cartoon with a bunch of like random mech robots piloted by awkward school kids with dyed hair. Also, the "you come to me in dreams of night" spoken word parts just feel very, very off to me. This is an absolute miss for me. This is garbage. I don't like this at all.
What?
Yes, that's what I said. That's what I said. Put this as like the start of like any Japanese manga cartoon, like I don't know, like Full Metal Alchemist or
excuse me,
Sword Art Online.
Full Metal Alchemist. It'd be like Fruit Baskets.
Oh yeah. Okay. Fine. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe one of the sweet romantic ones.
Yeah. There
fruit
you go. Okay.
Baskets.
Maybe Sailor Moon.
I could probably hear that in Sailor Moon too. Sure. Yeah. Just
you not like Sailor Moon?
No, I love Sailor Moon. Of course. Okay. Who doesn't fucking love Sailor Moon? But you could tell me you couldn't hear this in like the start of like a Sailor Moon like full length movie or something like that. Like the title sequence.
I would be totally down for.
Would you now?
To be honest.
That's fair. But I don't want it in a Carly Rae Jepsen album. I want that in a manga. I'll do that. That's fine.
I honestly love the chorus of this song so much. Like it's one of like my favorites.
Really?
On the record, honestly. Like at the song as a whole, I'm not entirely sold on, but the chorus I fucking love. And you bite your tongue with your spoken word slander, sir.
It's, I think, you know, maybe it's the like a sung part that just like it feels just so weird to me. It's like, and Carly Rae is like so capable of doing way better vocal structures than that. Like that just feels very phoned in to me. I don't know. Dan, what do you think?
So I'm picturing a mom getting out of her car, early 90s, late 80s, with the big hair and the big mom shoulder pads. She's trying to be cool with her kid, and this is jamming out of the car stereo. And it's kind of a commercial for, like, you know, Capri Sun, when she goes, yeah, hey. And, like summer's jamming, their sprinkler's going, and she, like, throws the Capri Sun, and the kid, like, jumps and smiles, and they, like, have a big family hug. And it's just dripping that late 90s, 80s pop sensibility.
Yeah.
And it's so disgusting that I actually think this is a really fun song.
Yeah, get out of here, Shakuna, with your, wow, your nonsense. Like, okay,
my nonsense.
Not my favorite song, but
my
nonsense. Easy fun.
Okay, but the picture you just painted, like Dan, was wonderful.
Oh, I see.
And I'm just saying that I would totally like throw that into whatever like universe you just painted, because that sounded great.
Wearing shoes that break your ankles where they bounce up and down.
I still stick by my previous thought that I thought the chorus was great, but the whole song as a whole was kind of eh. But anyway.
Anyways.
I can't believe you guys didn't like Warm Blood. Maybe I'm broken.
Maybe.
But I just thought that was amazing.
You are broken.
But aren't we all broken inside? Let's go on to final reviews here. We'll start off with Benny, since you're the one that brought forth the record. Scale of 1 to 10, what do you give him, this little bad boy?
See, this is rough for me.
Is it now?
Just because I, like, as I brought it to you guys, I probably would have given it like a high 8.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of scaling back a little bit because I still – love. I still think I can go back to this record and still enjoy it without dissecting it. So 7.5 is where we're gonna go.
Oh, right on. Okay. Daniel, what are you thinking for this one?
I'm gonna give it a 6. It's not something I'm gonna listen to often, but there are 4 or 5 songs that I do love off of it, like Warm Blood. But
that's it.
But I mean it wasn't a bad listen. There were songs I thought cringy, but
sure.
It was fun.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Dan on this one, with the exception of my point score. I'm going to give that just a little bit higher than Dan's, but a little less than Benny's. I'm giving this a solid 7. Cool. There are solid songs on this album that are just make me want to like just jump up and down in the middle of summertime and go get invited to a pool party and crash it. But then there are songs on this album that are just either misplaced or just feel phoned in that I just can't give it, in good conscience, give it any higher than that. That said, though, sure. Carly Rae Jepsen is a fantastic artist, and I'm so happy that her career continues to be as good as it is, and I hope that her next album continues to push the envelope in terms of her career, because she clearly has not only the songwriting chops, but also sure. She knows when there is a good beat and a good song structure to accompany those lyrics. So, but for this one, like I said, it's a 7 for me, for sure.
So you guys mentioned the Loneliest Time. Did you listen to Dedicated at all?
Is that the album prior to this one?
It's the 2019 release. Before it was after Emotion, but before The Loneliest Time.
Oh, got it. Well, I didn't. I didn't even know that existed, if I'm honest.
No, it's fine, because I think I didn't even listen to it either. I just was curious. I did listen to The Loneliest Time. I haven't listened to it in a bit, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But I think honestly, because like at the time, I think I chose like Taylor over.
Like, why do you have to choose one?
Because I was getting really into. Okay, well I chose because at the time I had to choose one record to listen to, and that was the one I chose. So I mean, I never really got back to listening to Loneliest Time and giving it the time it deserved. Which I probably should. So I probably should get back to that, because she definitely is an artist that I enjoy, and I should make time for that record 100%.
Yeah, I'm going through the track listing for that album, and there's not a single song that I recognize on here. So it must have been either something that just got swept up with Taylor Hysteria around that time when her album came out. Or maybe there just wasn't a strong enough single that really kind of like broke like the top 10 or top 20. But yeah, there's nothing here. The The only thing I can see on Spotify here in terms of like the highest played track is Party for One, but I couldn't tell you that song if you put a gun in my head. So
both released on October 21st of 2022. So that both being Midnight's and the Loneliest Time. So kind of a weird. Maybe it just was a weird coincidence, but it just seems like probably a bad move if you knew that was happening.
Yeah, for sure. I completely agree. But anyways, that being said, Daniel, where can I find you on the internet?
You can find me at Ecto Cooler Ghosts at all the great places you like to hang out on the internet.
Except for maybe no longer TikTok, considering it just got announced that it's probably getting banned now. So hooray for that. Thanks, federal government. You're the best.
Thanks, everyone that we met on TikTok. We made some great friends, including each other.
Exactly.
We are the best friends anyone could have. Anyways, Benny, where can I find you on the internet?
So, because I live in the great white north, if you want to follow me on TikTok after America erases it from all of our minds completely, wow. You can find me at Benny and the Wax. I'm there. And on anywhere on interwebs, I'm there. Come find me.
You can erase TikTok from my phone, but you can never erase it from my heart. Okay.
My heart is okay. What you were gonna say? I knew that
you hear me, federal government? You hear me? But in the meantime, while it still exists, you can find me on TikTok and Twitter and Instagram and wherever else social media that we'll have left after this nightmarish hellscape that we live in, at the Big Shakuna, pretty much anywhere there. Come and say hi. I would love to make some new friends. Not that like I don't need more friends, because I already have you guys and you guys are amazing. But I mean, you know, more friends are always good. Anyways, that said, you can also go to our website, which is www.BesideOurselves.com. That has all of our links, all of our playlists, all of our social media stuff, where you can listen to the podcast, where you can buy a t-shirt if that's something you're into. Maybe one of these days, maybe I'll try my hand at designing a t-shirt. Maybe we'll do guest t-shirts or something. I don't know.
My God. Can we each have our own design?
Oh, should we go for it. We totally should.
It's going to be awful.
It's going to be like something you drew in like Microsoft Paint.
I mean, I think we should keep that to Dan. I think that's Dan's lane, and I feel like we should have him stick to that. Because I don't think I could do –
You totally should, Benny. I would buy one just for that alone, just to see what your creative drawing abilities can yield. The only good thing I'm good at drawing is like Ninja Turtles from like the 1990s and like in the most like rudimentary shapes ever. So it's not it's gonna look really, really bad. Although maybe I'll draw us as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That'd be funny. Anyways, but once again, that's our website. It's besideourselves.com. Go check it out. It's where the cool kids hang out, I think. I don't know. But with that being said,
it's time to flip the record over.
Oh yeah, I guess you're right.
I thought you were going to sing, Benny.
Yeah, why aren't you singing, Benny?
Oops.
Bum, 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 bum.
All that hype for nothing.
Oh, wait, do I have my disappointed one? Oh, I don't. Damn it.
Womp,
womp, womp. Oh, wait, hold on. Wait, nope, never mind. Forget it.